And Green Acres here in Coffeyville bringing you our Green Side Up program this morning. And we are joined by livestock production agent Wendy Powell. Good morning, Wendy. How
are
you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. So here we are with a bit of rainy weather starting to enter into a pattern of the next few days. So we'll take the rain. I know we're always happy to have that. And, you know, it's just one of that time of year. The April showers bring May flowers, that sort of thing.
Yes, absolutely. We've got some ponds that are looking low still, still trying to play catch up from our drought situation.
Well, sure. And, yeah. you know, I was going to ask you, I just thought of it. You know, the fact that they were talking on the Ron Hayes Farm Show earlier today about, I mean, we're seeing the lowest cattle numbers since, like, the 50s across the nation just because of, you know, some of these drought conditions where people are selling off herds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just kind of an interesting point. I mean, from a cattle production standpoint, is that a little concerning? Is that something you think we can recover from? I mean, what's the thought out there?
So I'm certainly not an economist for sure. But I can say that America's cattle herd is very low inventory simply because there hasn't been the resources to keep cattle on hand, keep them fed properly, things like that, keep them watered, make for sure they have a good water supply. And so, yeah, folks have been dwindling their herds to, you know, accommodate that loss. So on one hand, it's really nice that cattle prices are high. And for those of us that have been able to keep our herds together and, you know, just sell off, you know, something that lost a calf or an oddball animal, something that doesn't necessarily fit in the calving season or whatever, then that paycheck is kind of nice. But we will get enough rain eventually and those numbers will go up. It's all a cycle. And we are, yeah, the inventories for America's cattle herd is super low. But I don't have any predictions on when our cattle prices will start to even out or when our replacement heifers will be able to fill in all of those spots that have been left open in our herds. It's hard to say.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your thoughts on that here this morning. I know we're going to talk a little bit about herd health today, but I wanted to let you just fill us in any upcoming events that you want to highlight first before we get into that.
On May 1st, I will be doing what we're calling Poverty Grass Progress. And that's going to be an innovative program in partnership with the Wilson County Conservation District. So that's going to be held at the Old Iron Club in Fredonia, right off Highway 400. And that situation, we are, I'm going to do a presentation at 10 a.m., 2 p.m., and 6 p.m. So it'll be the same presentation offered three different times throughout the day. And Pam Walker, the Conservation District manager up there, has contacted several land contractors in the area, and they will be available kind of as an open house type of deal. So these contractors might be for clearing land or for cleaning out ponds, building terraces, all kinds of land management contractors, those needs that you might have. So stop by the Old Iron Club on May 1st, grab a snack, and visit with these land contractors about any needs that you have on your place. And then I'll be presenting the information on our broom sedge study, poverty grass, at 10 a.m., 2 p.m., and 6 p.m.
Great. Well, that's nice to have those different options available for people so we can work with their schedules. So
yeah.
Good deal. So today going to be talking a little bit about herd health and herd health plan, I guess, just in general. You know, this is obviously something that I'm sure folks, you know, want to have in place. But can you kind of describe, you know, what are the basics of this?
Yeah, it's pretty rare for an operation to have this as a formalized plan that you can physically hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks
in the head.
yeah. A lot of folks have it in their head, and that's very typical, and that's fine. But writing things down really concretes the ideas and gives you a place to go with some other ideas, kind of lines things out, if you will. So the first part of a herd health plan is very simple. Name, address, phone number, contact information for the operation. And so for a small herd, you know, that's simply the livestock owner, their address, phone number. but for a bigger operation that has multiple locations, or like swine operations that have multiple barns on different places, then that's going to be the contact information of the owner or the manager, and then the contact information for each different division's manager information. And just like, you know, when you're building a house or when you have a kid, you gather up a team of people that are experts in that field, and that's who you go to for expertise. So like when you're building a house, you're going to get a contractor, you're going to have an electrician, you're going to have a plumber. When you have a kid, you're going to find a pediatrician, you're going to find an obstetrician. You know, these specialized experts can really narrow down what you need. And so whenever you have a livestock operation, you're going to look at, you know, nutrition. Maybe you don't hire a nutritionist, but you certainly need to have those resources. And then a veterinarian is the other person to have in your back pocket there. So having the veterinarian's name, contact information, after hours contact information, or the plan for the after hours contact, that would be in the herd health plan as well. And then the third part of a herd health plan is the goals of the operation. This is the one that gets a little bit more abstract, if that's the word I'm looking for. You're kind of out there a little bit. You know, my husband and I have cattle. What are the goals with our herd? Well, our goal is for each cow to have a baby every year and to be able to cycle through that cattle cycle, the cattle industry. Well, maybe we need to get a little bit more specific, you know, an average daily gain goal. Or maybe we need these cattle to hit certain benchmarks for a replacement heifer development. Or, you know, if there's, when we talk about chickens, you know, laying a certain number of eggs per day so that you have enough eggs to sell at the farmer's market. Things like that. So really laying out the goals of your operation is something that you can put your mind to and see it clearly, rather than just kind of going at it because that's what grandpa did.
Right.
The next section there is going to be about the livestock details. So this will be, you know, the specifics of each animal. How many of which type of animal? You know, 3 horses and 4 donkeys are on the place. And they're X age, and this is what they're used for. You know, their pasture ornaments, or their production horses, or their brood mares, or, you know, just whatever those specific animals are for, the livestock detail. So that you have each animal accounted for one thing, but you also know the function of that animal. The next part of the herd health plan, this gets a bit more down into the nitty-gritty, but it's super helpful as you go through the year. It's called the planning calendar, and it's got 3 different sections within that: general management, budget, and health. So we look at this each month. We look at it per month. So in January, you know, if we're talking about a cattle operation, maybe you're getting ready to calve in January or February. So your general management is going to be making sure you have the feed resources, making for sure that you have the calving kit put together, things like that. Budget. So if you know you've got some first calf heifers coming down the line, then maybe you need to budget for, you know, a potential trip to the vet, or a potential vet coming out to your place to maybe pull a calf, or budgeting feed resources again, or extra hay, bedding for a maternity barn, something like that. And then also health. That's the 3rd section within this division. Whenever we have newborns hit the ground, what needs to happen to them? Do we need to tag them? That's kind of a general management thing, but whenever we're talking about pigs, they need an iron shot. We need to castrate the male pigs as early as possible. So we need to be giving attention to those details each month and planning for those.
And is this something that you typically want to break down by animal if possible? You know, if you've got ear tags or that sort of thing?
Sure. Yeah, the more detailed you can make your management plan, the more prepared you're going to be. So if you know that you're going to be calving and you want to tag calves as they hit the ground, then yes, have your tags on hand and make for sure you have the right number. I know some folks will buy blank tags so that they can write the dam and the sire as well as the calf number on the tag. If you're not quite that detailed, go ahead and get numbered tags just to number those calves as they come down. And you can jot that down in your record book.
Gotcha.
So there are a couple more sections of the herd health plan. The production record section, that's going to be writing down when those animals do give birth. Writing down, you know, what is the calf, a bull or a heifer? Is it thrifty or not? Any details? Did you have to pull the calf? Writing that information down will help you next year. You know, if you've had to pull a calf from the same cow 2 years in a row, maybe she needs to go on down the line, or check your bull situation. Maybe she's not compatible with the bull that's being used, things like that. So something's not quite right.
Start to see those patterns.
Yeah, exactly. But having it all written down is the first step.
I think as it's like, I don't know, like signing getting older, too busy or something, but I'm amazed at the things I forget if I don't write them down. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just even a simple, you know, grocery list or something like that. I think, you know, someone said the faintest pencil mark is better than, you know, the actual stuff in your mind that just goes away. So.
It goes away. Yeah, exactly. I saw a notepad the other day that the title of the notepad was Things I'll Forget If I Don't Write It Down. I was like, that's what I need.
Yep.
So the production record, that can be, you know, if we're going back to a poultry example, the number of eggs that you collect each day and what condition those eggs are in. If you're seeing calcium buildup, or if you're seeing thin shells, or if you're seeing checks on those shells, you know, what do we need to do to take care of that?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Because those are all indications of either overconsumption of calcium, underconsumption, you know, they're missing something in their diet that's causing that malformation.
Gotcha. And obviously on chickens, it's really hard to stratify down to the individual chicken, but you can see things as a group, you know,
yes.
As a flock.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great point. If you have only three chickens, sometimes you can figure it out.
Yeah.
But most of us have more than that.
And we have better things to do.
Yes, exactly. So unless you have your chickens individually penned, then you're probably not going to figure out which one's laying an egg every day.
It's not like they're going to use individual nest boxes.
They're not labeled, and chickens don't follow the rules.
Not a thing. Yep. No.
And then the last part of the herd health plan is the health record. And this is going to be where you jot down notes on vaccinations, medications. If you have a sick animal, what you gave that animal, what its symptoms were. And then if you had to retreat the animal, you know, if they didn't get better like expected, or if it had to have a booster, then we jot that information down. This is also a good place to write down the details of the medication or the vaccine. So this is something that a lot of folks don't do, and me included. I don't necessarily write down the serial number of the bottle, but in a situation where you have several animals that received the same vaccine and something happened, having that backup information of the vaccine manufacturer or something to go back to can help you narrow down problems if they happen to arise.
That's a good idea.
So it's just the more details you have, the more powerful your knowledge is. And we all know that knowledge is power.
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
Yeah, lots of details with a herd health plan. Whenever we think about them individually, it's not a big deal. The goals of the operation, most of us have that, but it's not formalized. Most of us have a production record system, but it's not really formalized. And I am just as guilty as the next person going back through production records from year to year and comparing, you know, this year's calving season to last year's calving season. I have the information, but do I go back and look at it? We're just not going to discuss that now, are we?
Right.
So
oh, man.
Having the records is one thing, but reviewing them is another thing.
Yeah. Well, it's all about using our resources wisely. And, you know, like I said, starting to see those patterns, it's really important. So, Wendy, we're going to be talking a little bit about this here in the next segment as well. But for the folks who might have to run, if they do have questions about this, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, give me a call at the Altamont Extension Office, Labatt County Extension, 620-784-5337.
Excellent. Well, we'll talk more here with Wendy Pell in our next segment as we continue our green setup program here on the Mighty 690. Heading up to a high today in the low to mid-70s. We got 46 degrees right now. And a check of Fox News and local news coming up. Also, News on 6, we'll have a little bit more information on our weather here in just a few moments. And keep it here on the Mighty 690, segment number 2 of Green Setup. That's on the way here on KGGF. Back here on the Mighty 690 at 8:11 on the dot, it is time to continue our Green Setup program brought to you by the folks at Green Acres, and we do have Wendy Powell back with us for segment number 2. Good morning once again, Wendy.
Hello.
So we do have, you know, kind of recapping for the folks maybe just tuning in, talking a little bit about a herd health plan, that sort of thing. What are a few highlights that folks should know about, you know, getting that herd health plan at least maybe written down?
Yeah, so a lot of people will have this up there in their good old noggin, but writing it down really solidifies some of these things. Personal information, contact information for the owner, operator, things like that. The veterinarian's contact information and after hours plan of contact. And then the goals of the operation is another big part of this. You know, what is the actual function of your critters? And, you know, if you've got poultry, then how many eggs per day or a nutritional standard, eggs to sell at the farmer's market or something like that. And then another section will be the livestock details. So how many chickens do you have? How many roosters, hens, that sort of thing. And then a planning calendar is also a big part of this herd health plan. And that encompasses general management tasks each month, budget for each month, and then a health plan that's needed to take care of each month. Sometimes there's fewer things to handle each month, and some months are really big. So having those, it's kind of a guide for your planning year. And then a health record section and a production record section. Putting all of those things together in one spot, one notebook, can be really handy just to review your operation and kind of know where you're going. So that's a herd health plan. There are some out there in the world that you can print off and fill in. If you want to create your own, that's certainly fine too. I would suggest starting just with a binder and just start putting the information together. That's step one.
Yeah, so collect it all in one place. And then are there any apps at all out there for folks who may want to, you know, they're kind of digital savvy and they like doing things on the computer?
Yeah, so at least in the cattle industry, there are tons of apps, software programs for production records. Some of them are so robust that you can do your financial records within the same app. Pasture, forage management, growth records in the same app. Some of them are really robust. A lot of them will have subscriptions so that you can store your information in the cloud or however that system does, or have aerial vision of the different ones. Right now at the research center in Parsons, Dr. Jamie Lynn Farney is doing some research on different methods of data collection. So she's got one fancy device that attaches to the side-by-side. So whenever you are checking cows in the pasture, this device on the side-by-side is taking pictures of the grass, and it automatically uploads to a program.
Wow.
There's different ways to record it on your phone. Yes.
So it's like, I like the turn in farming into a video game. It's like actually like Farmville or whatever.
Yes. You can see the real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, if you're looking for something online or technological like that and you're not finding what you need, just give me a holler. I may or may not be able to help you find it, but I'd certainly be willing to check.
Excellent. Well, I know you kind of touched on it a little bit. We want to expand out and perhaps just a bit. You know, we always want to make sure we have that vet information at hand. And, you know, it's important to establish that, you know, client and vet relations. So can you talk just a little bit about that?
Yeah. So whenever you have livestock, you're going to have health issues, or at least you need a vaccination program. So the person to consult with that is going to be a veterinarian. And so to formalize that relationship, we have what we call a veterinary client patient relationship. So obviously the veterinarian here is the expert in animal health. The client is going to be the animal owner, and the patient is going to be the animal itself. And they all have a responsibility to the other party in this relationship. And so oftentimes this is a formal relationship where there's a form completed at the vet's office that you can have on hand at the farm too, where the vet knows your herd, knows the location of your farm, knows the location of other animals if they're not at headquarters, and you know how to get a hold of that vet after hours or if that vet's on vacation, things like that. So it's a formalized relationship that you need to have with an expert in animal health. A lot of times folks will just have a bunch of phone numbers. They just go down the list, yep, and whoever is available, that's who they get. But having that formalized VCPR, veterinary client patient relationship, is really handy just to, save time whenever you're in an emergency for one thing, but also, that veterinarian is going to be able to work more with you personally, and help you more, strategically. If they know you, if they are out to your place before you have an emergency and they're familiar with what you have going on, the goals of your operation.
Now, obviously, you know, a lot of people are going to already have, you know, a vet that they know, that sort of thing. But in the world of, you know, this type of veterinary work, obviously, you know, a lot of folks in town are familiar with the dogs and the cats, and some of their vets might do large animal, but are a lot of these people are they mobile? You know, is there a good resource to kind of figure out, you know, find a vet in your area? What do you recommend on that?
That's a really good question. And certainly there's not a database or something that I know of for local vets, but they can certainly call the extension office. We have a lot of good resources and relationships professionally with veterinarians. Most of the time I would be able to put you in contact with the main office phone numbers too. So if you're looking for a vet in your area, give us a holler and we can show you who's in your area. Montgomery County has a handful, and as we get farther out into the Flint Hills out west, they get to be fewer and farther between. So, yeah, if you're looking for a vet, just you can do a quick Google search for a vet near me or something like that. But you are going to want to get a bit more specific. And if you've got large animals, sheep or goats, then you certainly want to look for somebody that's going to do a little bit more than exotics or pets.
Sure. I know a lot of these you drive by and it's like some of these vet clinics like almost have chutes next to them, you know, where you can bring stuff in. But are some of them mobile?
Yeah. So a lot of vets will come out to your place. There's different charges, of course, for that sort of situation. And vets will even charge according to your facility maintenance. So if the vet needs to have baling wire on hand to help prop up panels, they might charge you a little bit more than going out to a facility that's intact and secure.
Sure.
So yes, a lot of vets, I won't say all, will go out to locations to work livestock. And then, yeah, most vet operations have working facilities at the headquarters too, so you could take your animals in. A lot of times that's cheaper, but it just depends on how many head you're hauling. I mean, if you have 3 loads of cattle, then maybe it's not cheaper to haul them all to town. So, no, yep.
It's a great reminder. And I know this is getting off into the different world, but, you know, in the equine world, I know that farriers are, they're getting a kind of a challenge to find anymore. You know, it's just one of those things that not as many people are going into.
Yep.
And so that's another thing that, well, hey, if anyone wants to have a steady business, go be a farrier. You'll be set for life.
Yeah, there you go. And oftentimes veterinarians will also have contact information for farriers. And the other sort of animal health expert that you can have come out would be an equine dentist. So oftentimes
get those floats and everything.
Yep. If as horses age, their teeth continually grow. If they're not eating enough grainy things, then their teeth get to be too long and they need to be floated, or other, you know, teeth abscess, just like with people.
Yep.
Animals have these sorts of problems too. So you can have a dentist come out to your place and fix them up.
Yeah, no, that's a great reminder. So there's all sorts of cool stuff out there.
Chiropractors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Animal chiropractors. There's getting to be more and more of them around.
And they have some crazy videos online.
Yes.
It's like, oh my gosh, you can do that?
Yes. So sometimes the chiropractor will come to the location, your operation, and sometimes you'd need to take the animal to them. It would obviously depend on the situation you're in. So.
Well, it's a great reminder. There are some of those specialty folks out there. If you run into a situation, and obviously, you know, we tend to do this more with pets, but, you know, some of these, what do you call them, a pasture ornament, some of those can be kind of pets.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Oh, I love it. So now, Wendy, I know that you mentioned here in this last segment, some folks might not have heard it, we do have the Poverty Grass program that is coming up here in just a little bit. Can you fill us in on the details on that?
Yeah, so May 1st, I'm going to be doing a program we're calling Poverty Grass Progress, and this is kind of an overview of the Broomsedge project I've been working on for the last few years. Poverty grass is, right now you're seeing it in pastures, it's this pretty golden color, and it's just a terrible plant. Obviously, it's called poverty grass, and that tells us that it's not nutritious at all. Cattle will starve on it, livestock in general. Mm. So we've been looking at different fertilizer rates applied to these poverty grass pastures, hay fields, and we'll go through kind of what we've been finding on May 1st. At the Old Iron Club, right off Highway 400 in Fredonia, we're going to do a presentation at 10 a.m., 2 p.m., and 6 p.m. So this is the same presentation offered three different times, and we'll have snacks throughout the day. We're working this in conjunction with Wilson County Conservation District, and they are going to be bringing in some land contractors to do an open house. So it's kind of a one-stop shop for the day. You know, here's some poverty grass information. Also connect with land managers, you know, if you need a pasture cleared or prescribed burns done, things like that. Getting late in the season for prescribed burn, but any sort of land management strategy you're working on, we can get you hooked up.
Excellent. Well, Wendy, if people have questions about your upcoming programs or anything we've talked about today, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Call me at the Labette County Extension Office. That phone number is 620-784-5337.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Wendy, for coming on by. This is a Green Side Up program brought to you by Green Acres here in Coffeyville. And up next, we'll have an early bird edition of Open Line. That's straight ahead.